Hello, everybody. It's George from Ireland. Thanks for coming back to the channel. Well, it was a delightful news that Mrs. Rayner is gone to the back benches, and there was a major reshuffle in the Labour cabinet. Sir Keir Starmer reshuffled even more than I anticipated. I thought he would keep David Lammy on post because of the rapport built up with JD Vance, but no, he's been promoted to Deputy Prime Minister. It's principally him I want to talk about. Yvette Cooper had that sideways move from Home Secretary to Foreign and Commonwealth Secretary, so she can fail in another area. I mean, really failing on crime, really failing to smash the gangs. But David Lammy is singularly unsuitable for the office he holds. He's absolutely dreadful, and he was a terrible Foreign, Commonwealth and Development Affairs Secretary. He offended Catholics many years ago. That's over a billion people with his stupidity, saying it was racist people talking about white smoke. I mean, ooh. How can such a person have that job? Now, one thing I got to say for him is he's not stupid. Okay, he's ill-informed. He hasn't bothered to do his homework on foreign affairs. But no one could be called to the bar or practice the bar if he's dim. He's high intelligence. He won that scholarship to Harvard, as he likes to endlessly remind us. He paid tribute to another racist MP, his predecessor, Bernie Grant, who was in favor of violence against the police, inciting violence against the police in riots in his Tottenham constituency. Anyway, so Mr. Lammy is there. I remember it was several years ago he denounced what was it, Children in Need, or was it Red Nose Day, one of those charity telethons for saving children in Africa. What? So he wants them to starve to death. He wants them to like miss out on life-saving medical care. What? Just because it's whites who were some of the people there. Why is that a problem? I mean, whites sometimes some whites have been evil to black people. That's terrible. Some whites are good to black people. That's better, isn't it? I mean, and there are plenty of black people who are good to whites, and they're black saviors as well. So, what's the problem? Why does he have to refract things through this prism? I mean, he should ought to be colorblind. So clearly, he judges people by the color of their skin and not the content of their character, to paraphrase the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., saying that they showed one child who had his or was it her finger in the child's mouth, and any parent would have sorted out that out. Why? You know, if I had a child and she was sticking his her finger in his her mouth, why would I care? 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds do this. I mean, there's no harm about that. You wouldn't let your children be happy. It tells you about the sort of control freak parent he is. So patently he's anti-white. Now I know in defense I say, oh, but my wife is white, or maybe he dislikes her. I might tell you something about the state of his marriage too. But there we go. So a promotion. I knew it was going to be a minority person. There's absolutely nothing wrong with having a minority person as Deputy Prime Minister. I wouldn't care if the United Kingdom never had a white PM again, or never had a male PM again. But now Starmer, obviously, he's all about visuals, promoting Lammy for his race, not his merits, and so on. Now, okay, at least we don't have someone who's thick holding that office, because you know, say what you like about Lammy, at least he can read. He can certainly master his brief. He's capable of expostulating a cogent argument, which was clearly well beyond the capabilities of Mrs. Rayner. So Mrs. Rayner now can finally spend more time with her family that she professes to care so much about. She really ought to go back and work at the nursing home again, because apparently she was decent at that. And it's delightful to read that the additional 40,000 quid she's got to pay in stamp duty plus a 50,000 quid fine. Yes, there might be even more than that. Oh my God. And by the way, when she sells this house, if it's not her main home after all, does she have to pay capital gains tax? I mean, oh my God, it's great. So there we are. So the one who cared so much about housing, and it's way too unaffordable. You have three homes. Think how much you push up the price of property for the needy. So someone who failed her way upwards. All right, other movements in the Labour cabinet. So anyway, Emma Reynolds, she's now the Secretary of State for Food, Environment and Rural Affairs. Obviously, there's revolt in the countryside, partly because his inheritance tax changes is going to be wrecking family farms. Jonathan Reynolds is a real rising star of Labour. The liar who claimed to be a solicitor, He was in the business department. Now he's chief whip, as in he has to be a bit like the head of the secret police, threatening people to vote the way the PM wants them. Otherwise, you won't get promoted. You might have the whip withdrawn. You could be deselected, or even if you're not deselected, we won't campaign too hard in your constituency. And Labour obviously realize they're going to have to have a real fight on next time because, you know, a Reform UK is going to gain dozens of seats, maybe hundreds. Now, hold your horses, steady on, cast your mind back to the early 1980s, 1981, the foundation of the Social Democratic Party, the Limehouse Declaration. Sometimes the opinion polls showed over 50% of people were going to vote for the SDP. When they eventually were the alliance, SDP and the Liberal Party formed an alliance, the SDP Liberal Alliance. In the end, they got 25% of the vote, you know, half of their peak, and they only got like 25 seats. So, supposing the same thing were to happen with Reform UK, and they didn't get 30% of the vote, they got now they got 15%, would still be a creditable result and a bit better than it did last time. But you know, they only got sort of five MPs was the last election, one more in a by-election. Somebody's defected. Five or six MPs now, depending which way you look at it. But they would, supposing they would be up to 15 MPs or even 50 MPs. I mean, they were pretty good for them. People talk about them in the government. You know, even the most optimistic scenario from their perspective is them getting, say, 300 MPs, well below the 326 magic number to form majority government. I think 300 is way too high. I mean, I think it'd be 150 tops. It may actually be under 100, but they're going to be a significant force. But yeah. Anyway, so Peter Kyle is business secretary. Well, he's the real nobody. They kicked out the Secretary of State for Scotland, Sir Alan Campbell. He is now leader of the House of Commons. Okay, so Lucy Powell, she has been kicked out of the cabinet. One of the more amiable Labour cabinet ministers. So Darren Jones is now Chancellor of the Duchy of Lancaster. He's already Chief Secretary to the Prime Minister, which is a new role, holding the PM's handbag. Chancellor of the Duchy of Lancaster is a sinecure, really. It's partly because the monarch is the Duke of Lancaster. Okay, so Ian Murray, he's unhappy. He's been demoted. They brought back Douglas Alexander, who was a veteran of the Blair Brown years. So Douglas Alexander is a retread, getting back the job he had almost 20 years ago. So the ones who stay on post as Wes Streeting as Secretary of State for Health. What do you think he's succeeding in this one? Anyway, he's absolutely monstrous. He's as Adolf Eichmann of genocide, Wes Streeting, by his signature, he's condemning children to death. Yeah, so he's spoken now to how he's in favor of murdering little kids. And I'd say the same of Jeremy Hunt or Matt Hancock or any of the other absolute monsters torturing little children to death, not by their own hand directly, but they're the ones who give the orders. Anyway, it's sickening the way they're awarded. John Healey is the defense secretary, him ordering those spy flights over Gaza, colluding in genocide against Palestinian civilians. Lisa Nandy, she retains a position. Okay, so it happens to be the same time as Reform UK's conference, and obviously they are jubilant, they are triumphant, but this premature triumphalism might work against them. People might want to burst their bubble. It's a bit like that 1992 election where Neil Kinnock, leader of Her Majesty's Most Loyal Opposition, the Labour Party, walked onto a street in that state in that Sheffield rally. We're all right. We're all right. We better get some talking done here. And people said he made a prat of himself and people felt taken for granted. They voted against him, blah, blah, blah. But that was about 72 hours to go. I think, well, most people had made up their minds. It had little effect, actually, the optics of that one. All right, so changing deck chairs on the Titanic, it's a meme being used a lot about this Labour government. They are still very worried, and rightly so. Is going this badly, only 14 months in? What on earth is it going to be like 4 years on, about the time you might be calling an election? But that's why they might want to leave the last possible minute, hoping Reform UK will implode. Things will go even worse for the Conservatives or whatever. Somehow, some of Labour's policies come to fruition. Thanks for watching the channel. Make sure you subscribe to the channel on PayPal, George Callan 7 on gmail.com. Goodbye.